We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
On the game on this Wednesday, rainy Wednesday, with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. A lot to chop up here. Travis Schlenk, general manager of the Hawks, joining us at the 8:20 segment this morning and talking with him about the number three pick. And a lot to kind of go over with what Travis said. Now, what Travis did say, one of the things he said was that they are going to be doing their interviews today. And basically, it's, I guess, today, tomorrow, and Friday. It sounds a lot like with interviews and shooting drills and some participation there in Chicago with all these draft picks. It sounds more or less like the NBA Combine to me.
I mean, basically, yeah. You got a short period of time to try to get to know these players as much as you possibly can under these circumstances. So that's why I thought it was kind of creative when he said speed dating, because you have to – you only get a certain amount of questions that you can ask to try to get a feel for who this person is. So that it's going to be – like the questions are just as important as the answers, I think, to just to see, you know, trying to get a look inside of how this person thinks. So that's why I asked the question about, you know, I want to ask him Monday some of the questions that he asked and, you know, how did they, some people respond to him.
And it is their officially their draft combine. I was just trying to put it into terms that, you know, fans would understand, because the NFL combine is so popular. So this is, you know, they have the draft lottery and then they have the draft combine, and the draft will come up next month. And the Hawks will have four picks, 3, 19, 30, and 33. And so Travis did touch on that it's important to hit in the other picks. And then he said, you know, yeah, what we'd like to, if we hit on three of the four picks, we'd be okay with that. Yeah, but we want to hit on all four right now. Coach Pierce will be with the team today. He will fly to Chicago tonight, and he will join the general manager tomorrow and Friday at the draft combine. So he's in town getting to know his players, his new players a little bit more. He's going to work out with some of the players today. One of those guys is not Dennis Schröder. He's not back yet. He's over in Germany. And Dennis held a news conference a couple of days ago in German with the German Basketball League, the Deutschland Basketball Bund, DBB, that is the German league, and was talking about, you know, his experience in Germany. And then the reporters there started asking him about Atlanta and about his future. And Dennis said a lot of things. I'll just read some of the things that Dennis said from the translator at the news conference, which, by the way, is up at Facebook, if you speak German like Daryl does, because it's all in German. I should let you know that. Dennis said, Hugh, he said, I will be 25 in September, and of course you want to win a title sometime. In my prime time, I want to compete. I cannot be second to last in the Eastern Conference. I have my thoughts and my friends with other teams. For example, Indiana wouldn't be too bad. Milwaukee wouldn't be too bad. He went on to name names like Oladipo. I will talk to the GM and owner of the Hawks, and he hasn't done that. Travis Schlenk says he hasn't met with him yet. We asked Travis about it, and he said, no, I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet. He said, Dennis said, I will talk to the GM and the owner of the Hawks and what they want to do in the future. My agent will be there and talk to them on Wednesday. That's today. Atlanta is my city. I was drafted there, but I have to look individually at what's best for me. So this is what Dennis is saying. And again, I think he's just raising his hand and saying, hey, listen, I mean, I'm willing to move on. If you want to move me, I'll go.
Well, the thing with this, what Dennis has said is what basically, John, he's left it open for us to interpret. You know, when you start talking about other teams and talking about how Atlanta drafted you, that immediately makes one think that you don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. That's the immediate thought process, is that you do not want to be here and that you want to go somewhere else and contend. Basically, you're leaving it open for us to speculate whether or not you believe that Atlanta is going to contend. And by him saying that, you know, he's 25 years old and the fact that he wants to try to contend, he's feeling that Atlanta is not going to be in position to do that because we're in a rebuilding process. And on the flip side of that, when we presented what Dennis had said to Travis Schlenk, it was clear that, you know, he couldn't say a whole lot about it, number one, but he was clearly frustrated by it because, you know, he has a lot going on right now. So this is something that he's going to have to deal with and put out fires. I think the bottom line is this, John. You got to figure out where Dennis Schröder's head is. What does he want to do? You know, you could take these comments, and I don't know why Dennis Schröder thought that because he was saying it in German that nobody would pick this up and understand what exactly he was saying. You know, I don't understand that. Why? And not only that, we can sit here and debate whether or not what he meant to say or what he said specifically because we didn't get the whole cuts. But the bottom line is this. When you start talking about other teams and not being here and things like that, that puts a sour taste in the club that you work for's mouth. And that's just like any job that you have. When you start talking about working somewhere else, guess what? That could get you fired. That gets you out of there. And you don't do things like that. If anything, if you want to go somewhere else, that's a conversation you have in private with the organization and your agent. That's nothing that you take public and just talk all willy-nilly in Germany with your German buddies thinking, oh, no, they're in America. They don't listen to this stuff over there in America. Because that's what it kind of sounded like to me. He got comfortable and he was asked questions. And I don't think he put that much thought into what he said, to be totally honest. I don't think that he realized, I guess he kind of did, though, because he's talking about his agent's going to talk to him. I mean, you just don't say stuff like that in public. You just don't.
Yeah, and maybe it was just getting a little comfortable in Germany with, you know, where he grew up and all the people that he grew up around and his coaches and whatnot. And he did say a lot of things that give you a lot of pause. And now, there's a love-hate with Dennis in this town. I understand it. I mean, there's good Dennis and bad Dennis. When Dennis is very good, he's good. When he's a knucklehead and he's been a knucklehead or he's, not playing all that well, you know, there's, you know, because we all see the potential of Dennis Schroeder. You know, I mean, we all see that he has the potential to be great. Now, can Lloyd Pierce get that out of him? Maybe. You know, I'm not giving up on Dennis. Just because Dennis said this does not make me want to immediately, Hugh, trade Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, but it makes you wonder if Dennis is fully committed to the process.
Yes.
Because we've listen, John, this is going to be a process, and this is something that is going to be rebuilding. And, you know, to be fair, I'm not mad at Dennis for saying that he wants to win a championship. I'm not mad at him for that. It's just that there are certain ways you go about saying certain things. You know what I mean? You take that in private. Because who knows? You could be in a position in a couple years from now to be on a championship team. It could be here. You never know. So I think the way that he went about it probably was wrong. And another thing that I found out this morning that a lot of people didn't know, my man Daryl speaks fluent German. Like fluid German, and would not give me any cuss words in German. I don't understand that. As long as we've been working together, Daryl would not give me any of those cuss words, and I don't understand why. But Daryl speaks fluid German.
Speak it enough. I'm not Dennis Schroeder style.
No, but I'm saying, but you understand it, and you know cuss words. Can I get some of them cuss
words? This is
true. On a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Like I know we can't use them on air.
But Deutsch.
it would be nice to have some cuss words in German.
Yeah, I've all. You know a few words of German. Everybody knows a few words. But by the way, I don't know why we're talking about this.
Volkswagen.
You know, well, yeah. What is people's car? How do you say people's car? How do you say pickled cabbage?
Sauerkraut.
Right. How do you say children's garden?
Don't know, John.
Kindergarten. They're just German words that we use in American
Hey,
language.
Look, John knows more German than all of us, except for Daryl. What's that?
Lufthansa.
Oh, okay.
Lufthansa. How do you say? There it is.
Lufthansa. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's neither there. The German, there were a lot of people want German to be the national language of our country back in the day. Thankfully, that did not win. No offense to you, German speakers.
Boy, John, you just made it real kind of morbid with that one. I mean, damn, we were trying to have fun with it.
What do you think's going to happen when you go there? Come on now.
We're trying to have fun with the Germans. John, took it somewhere and started talking about stuff that, you know what I mean? We done went back in time. Let's go back to your childhood. Damn it, John.
Wait, is that German restaurant still out in Stone Mountain? That really good one? Does anybody know that right there when you're about to go to the park?
Restaurant? Well, the place in Helen we were talking about a few weeks ago for Beer Fest. Isn't that, I forgot the name of it. But it's a place in Helen.
Okay.
Every year that they go for like a German festivities. I forgot the name of it, but
probably
it was
his house
on,
in it.
No, it was on Atlanta. I can't remember the name of it, but that's on my. I bet this year. I want to do that. I want to ride to Helen, Georgia, and do that for the Oktoberfest for the beer thingy.
Yeah, yes,
as soon as I figure out what the name is.
So back to Dennis here. You know, as Dennis goes here, one of the other things that I thought was interesting that you asked Travis and what he answered. You said that. You know, there are people who are saying, would the Hawks entertain trading down out of the number 3 pick? And he said, you know, we'll listen. will listen to other people, which makes me – I immediately started to think, okay, I know that the Luka Doncic and DeAndre Ayton are considered the 1-2. And by the way, Doncic might go number one overall. So those two are 1-2. And then it gets to be kind of a jumble bag a little bit because the guys are somewhat alike, and you have to really make sure that you pick the right fit and the right guy for your system amongst the next, say – you know, because I tried to say, can you pare it down from eight? And he said, well, yeah, a little bit. But if you have a problem with Dennis, maybe when you're in this draft combine here for the next 3 days, you're taking a bigger, deeper look at Trae Young.
You might. That's something that you might look at. But first, I think you need to figure out what Dennis had at. Because if you don't have to get a position like that, John, then why do it? But to your point, a lot of people are, it's a love-hate situation going on with Dennis Schroeder here. Sometimes you love him, and sometimes you hate him. And initially, when Travis Lane got here, I got the feeling that Dennis was a part of the bigger plan. I kind of got that feeling. Now, that might have changed during the course of this season, but I felt like Dennis was going to be a part of the bigger picture with this. And now since he said this, it's kind of hard to say now. Because if you have a guy that doesn't want to be here, especially when you have a new head coach coming in, John, he might not buy into everything the coach is selling. And that might make it a tough situation for the coach and the player. So if he's feeling like that, then it might be time to move on from Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, I just don't know what you would get in the open market for Dennis Schroeder.
Might be kind of hard to trade him.
I'm not sure. I mean, some teams would be – I mean, his talent – again, good Dennis, bad – the NBA sees everything we see. And the NBA sees good Dennis, bad Dennis. I mean, they see – you know, and what kind of a relationship does he really have with Coach Bud? I mean, if Coach Bud goes to – let's say Coach Bud goes to Milwaukee. You know, with the Greek Freak.
He mentioned Milwaukee in his German when he was doing his interview over there in Germany. He mentioned Milwaukee, and that relationship. That's probably why he mentioned it. But I mean, what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to give up to get Dennis Schroeder?
Not much. A second round pick, maybe. I mean, I don't think you're getting nobody giving you a first round pick for Dennis Schroeder. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I just don't see that. You know, I mean. Maybe you trade him for another player. Maybe it's just a player-for-player swap.
Yeah, maybe that.
And not a draft pick swap. All right, it's time for you to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Tag. Tag, you're it. All right, you have to 959 to text the word tag to 72881. Tag. To 72881, do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. We had a winner the other day, so you can win $1,000 too. Tag to 72881 in the National Signing Bonus. Tag, and hopefully you get tagged for $1,000 by the end of the hour. All right, John and you from the Kia Studios. We're talking about the NBA Draft Lottery. The show itself was awful. I think it was just awful. It was just bad. It was boring. It was like, come on, get to it.
I didn't watch it. I didn't do it. I couldn't do it.
Am I wrong, by the way, Daryl? Did you watch the... I watched it all. Yeah, it was just like, get to it, for crying out loud.
I agree with you. They had us hanging on a string.
Because they knew that people like you, like hoopheads, would be there to watch it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that it also is one of the reasons why people don't trust the NBA is because did you see the ping pong balls?
Nope.
Did you see them pull the ping pong balls?
Nope.
So what makes you know for sure that the positions that the teams were in were actually there? How you know that somebody back there didn't grease somebody palm to make them make the Phoenix Suns the first pick?
I trust the process.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Okay. All right, then. Okay.
I'm glad you do.
Play on words.
So let's presume for the sake of argument, just for the heck of it here, you know, the Hawks keep that number three pick. I think you're looking at a group of, and this is what we're asking you on our Facebook and our Twitter this morning. It is our Vision Computer poll of the day. Assuming that Ayton and Doncic go 1-2 in the draft, and by the way, again, Doncic may go number one overall because the coach of the Phoenix Suns is a Euro. He's a brand new coach. His name is Igor Kokoschkov, and Igor coached Doncic in Europe, and they won a title together. So they know each other. I mean, he didn't just watch him. He coached him. And to a title. So you know, a lot of people thinking that connection might mean Luka Doncic goes number one overall ahead of DeAndre Ayton. But assuming those two go 1-2 in the draft, who should the Hawks take at number three? And we're asking you, and so far 73%, that's overwhelming, saying Marvin Bagley III out of Duke. Great drop step with Marvin Bagley. Really good around the rim. A lot to like about Marvin Bagley. Mo Bamba out of Texas getting 8%, 9% for Jaren Jackson out of Michigan State, and 10% for Michael Porter Jr. out of Missouri. Of course, Porter Jr. was injured for most of his freshman year, didn't come back really to the postseason, and played limited. And somebody you'll have to really kind of hone in on a little bit at this draft combine because he got such little action at Mizzou. But all of these guys who are 6'10 to 6'11, most of them can shoot beyond the arc. And what Travis said about being able to shoot outside the arc and defend outside the arc, and as long as they are, I think all four of these kind of fit. Maybe not Mo Bamba. He's got a little bit of jumper game, but the other three certainly can.
Yeah, and you know, he said in the best of both worlds that he wants somebody that is, you know, is defense that can do both, shoot and play defense. When we look at Marvin Bagley, the biggest knock on him is that in college he was athletically more gifted than everybody else that he was playing against, and they're a little bit concerned about that. But I think the upside for him is very, very high. And you're talking about somebody that I think that the fan base could really get excited about if he is that pick at number three.
Right. And so far, 73% are saying, you know, Marvin Bagley the third, which is kind of a leading indicator of the fact that they would be okay if that turned out to be the pick. Well, it's a Wednesday. It means we get to play a little fill in the blanks. I have some questions for the guys. Have a little bit of fun in the next segment. And one of them will be about this question. Who do they think will be the number three pick? We'll do that.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen and win.
The Game's National Signing Bonus.
This is huge. We're giving away over $250,000. A chance to win a grand.
You just won $1,000.
12 times a day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh and the crew. At the Kia Studios on this Wednesday, every Wednesday at this time, we now play a little game called Fill in the Blank, where we have a little bit of fun and try and fill in a blank on a question for you. And we will ask the question that we've been asking you about the Hawks' third draft pick in just a minute. But let's begin by asking a couple other questions first, and then we'll get into the Hawks' first draft question. And it's about stuff that's kind of topical and top of the news and fun, too. All right, for my first question, guys, who wants to go first today? Anybody want to raise their hand? Daryl?
I'll bite. Okay. I'll go first.
All right, so, Hugh, here's our first question. NFL.com lists five SEC quarterbacks as Heisman candidates. The other day, NFL.com comes out and says these are the five SEC quarterbacks who are legitimate Heisman candidates. They are Nick Fitzgerald at Mississippi State, Tua Tagovailoa at Alabama, Drew Lock at Missouri, Jarrett Stidham at Auburn, and Jake Fromm at Georgia. That's Fitzgerald, Tagovailoa, Lock, Stidham, and Fromm. I'm asking you, the best quarterback in the SEC in 2018 will be blank.
I'm going to be a homer. I'm going to say Jake Fromm.
All right. He's going to go Jake Fromm will be the best quarterback in the SEC this year.
Do we all share the same picks? Or?
You can go outside this list, by the way, if you want to.
No, I'm not that smart. I'm going to go with Jarrett Stidham.
Jarrett Stidham at Auburn. A lot expected out of Jarrett Stidham at Auburn, you know, when he came from Baylor. And let's see if he can't, you know, raise his game here, because a lot of people thinking he might make an NFL quarterback if he does. All right, Bo, who's going to be the best quarterback in the SEC? Fill in the blank.
Kyle Trask, University of Florida.
He had to laugh about that because, you know, he's just talking. But, I mean, that's fine. That's his pick. That's his opinion. And he's over there giggling very hard. But that's his opinion. He can have that.
Yeah, we are going to let him have that. You know, that's all we're going to do is let him have it. I'm going to say the best quarterback in the SEC in 2018, this will be a surprise, is not on this list. I'm going to say the best quarterback in the SEC in 2018 will be Jalen Hurts. That Jalen is going to step his game up with his Tua threat. He's going to take the starting job at Alabama, Hugh, and he's going to run with it, literally and figuratively. He's going to take the job back.
Well, technically, he didn't lose his job, did he? He didn't lose it. No, but it hasn't been confirmed that Tua is the starting QB. Has that been, that has not been confirmed.
Yeah, and yet, you're correct. And yet, NFL.com lists five SEC quarterbacks as Heisman candidates. One of them is Tua. No, Jalen Hurts.
He balled out the championship game. And listen, I it's hard to argue against that, especially when you look at the game that he had in the biggest game of his life to come in and do what he was able to do. There's no argument. But technically, he has not been named the starter, technically.
Correct.
So, you know, there's that.
And there are a lot of people, by the way, if we ask this question, fill in the blank, I think you get a lot of the quote-unquote experts around the nation who would say Drew Lock. My only problem with Drew Lock is that Missouri has no talent around him. You know, I mean, maybe he is, but you know, that team has got issues. All right, question number two. The Cubs are in town right now. Behind the The most annoying fan base that comes to games in Atlanta, any team that comes to games in Atlanta, the most annoying, we're talking about opposing fan base that comes to games in Atlanta, outside of the most annoying fan base is blank.
Dallas Cowboys.
That's a good call. Dallas Cowboys can be pretty annoying. Daryl, what's the most annoying fan base outside of the
Carolina Panther fans?
Carolina Panther fans. That's a good call there. And by the way, they are going to still be the Carolina Panthers, which is good news, actually. Bo, the most annoying fan base to come to games in Atlanta outside of Swamp People is blank.
I was going to say Orlando City, but I think I'm going to go with the Packers fans.
That was my second choice, Packers. Packers fans. And, you know, it's a lot of them here in Atlanta. A ton of them.
A ton of them.
Ain't none of them that been to Green Bay either. Ain't none of them been to Wisconsin. Ain't none of them from Wisconsin.
All of that is true. True.
I like the colors. I like cheese.
I like Favre. Favre. What, did you want to change your pick?
I was thinking about two other fan bases, too, but you didn't give yours yet.
No, go ahead. What are they? I mean, you tell me.
I mean, you can say that for Laker fans here in Atlanta.
Yeah, true.
Because a lot of them have never been to L.A., and a lot of them have never really been to L.A. games.
All right, so here's what you want my answer?
And the Red Sox.
You want my answer, okay?
What's your answer?
Okay. Red Sox, Patriots, and Celtics. It's a combination. It's Boston fans.
Yes.
The most annoying fan base is Boston. Okay. Just saying, you are.
Speaking of Boston.
Yeah.
Al Horford. I gotta say something about this tweet that I got.
Playoff alcohol night.
No, because I'm telling you, I gotta give a shout out to my man Reginald Stargell. Because he sent this tweet and he was talking about Al Horford. Because you know, Al Horford balled out in the fourth quarter last night. And he said, watching Al Horford ball out is like having another man raise your son, and all you can say is, damn. He's doing a good job.
Is that the Matt Barnes rule of life? Is that what that is?
Hey, no, but when I read his tweet, I was like, I got to figure out how to work this into the show somewhere.
Yeah.
Because that was funny. That was pretty funny because that's all you can say. Because what you had a conniption when they called him, what, Playoff Al? They called him Playoff Al.
So we call him Uncle Al now?
Al Horford stepped up when he had to.
Okay, I'll call him Uncle Al.
So it's like, yeah, you know what? I can't say nothing about your stepdad. Your stepdad doing a good job. He's doing it. Hey, stepdad's doing a good job.
Question number three. It's getting hot outside. Maybe not today, but it's getting hot outside generally. You've worked up a big old sweat. You need something to drink. You reach for a blank. You, Douglas, you've worked out. You're sweating like crazy. You need a drink. You reach for a blank.
A Rita's Italian water ice.
Okay.
I tell you, that's my vice right there. In the summertime, I got to have it.
You've worked up a big old sweat there, Daryl. You're spinning outside. It's hot, and you reach for a what?
A nice glass of H2O.
A little bottle of water, cold water?
Need it.
Yeah. Bo, it's sweaty outside. You're driving your wheeler out there. You're working up a sweat, doing what you do.
Thank you for the clarification. Cold beer all the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I reach for a big old glass of lemonade, and I've gotten in the last few years I've gotten back into lemonade. Now John Chuckery tells me on his diet I shouldn't have lemonade because it's not good for me.
Wait, but a minute, on whose diet?
Chuck's diet.
You said on your diet.
No, I don't. Okay, I've been talking to John about his diet, and he says lemonade's off. You know, verboten, to use a German word. It is the language of the day, after all. But lemonade. But I just take the real lemon and pour it into a glass, mix it with water with Truvia. You know, I mean that's what I do.
You know, but. Your body doesn't know the difference between fake sugar and real sugar.
That's what I hear.
Sugar is sugar.
Sugar is sugar.
Sugar is sugar for your body, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Gas prices continue to go up. You begin to grumble, complain about the cost of gas at blank per gallon, Hugh Douglas.
What'd you say now? Say it again.
Gas prices continue to go up. You begin to grumble, complain when the cost of gas gets to blank per gallon.
Nothing. I don't complain about gas. That's the one thing I will not do.
That's fair enough.
I do not complain about gas.
You begin to grumble and complain loudly when the cost of gas gets to blank per gallon.
To when I go to the West Coast and have to get gas.
And it's how much out there?
I'm scared.
Yeah.
I know this weekend.
Bo, you complain loudly and grumble when the cost of gas gets to blank per gallon.
Anytime it changes in the negative. When it goes up, I complain no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
It's $2.69 a gallon right now. I'm complaining right now.
It's like $2.99 a gallon down the street here. And that's where I get to. $3 a gallon, I start to complain. It's $3 a gallon. It's like, come on, you got to be kidding me. All right, final question, of course, is going to be, with the number three pick in the first round, the Atlanta Hawks select blank. Now, we are asking a Vision Computer poll, assuming that Ayton and Doncic go 1-2 in the draft. 73% so far say Marvin Bagley. This is on our Twitter at 929TheGame. 10% Michael Porter Jr., 9% Jaren Jackson, and 8% Mo Bamba. Now, presuming they don't trade you, okay, they don't trade down, they stay at number three. And presuming that Ayton and Doncic go 1-2. Because if one of those two guys falls, you know, if Ayton falls to three, they're going to take DeAndre Ayton. But let's assume that. We'll ask the question that we've been asking on our Twitter. With the number three pick of the first round, the Atlanta Hawks will select blank.
Marvin Bagley.
Daryl, they will select?
I'm in agreement with Hugh Douglas.
Bo, they will select blank.
I'm with these guys. I'm a Marvin Bagley guy.
And I'm going to go Michael Porter Jr. And I think that he's the kind of player at 6'10 who could shoot the threes, that has that offensive game and that length and defensively that is very attractive to Travis Schlenk. So we'll see. I mean, Michael Porter Jr. at three is probably high, which goes to your question, Hugh, about would you trade down? And he said, oh, well, listen to offers, because if they like, for example, the idea of Michael Porter Jr. or Trae Young, they can entertain some offers and move down 2-3 spots.
They
and
could
still get him.
But I think Travis just said that because when you're in a position to get a good player, a difference maker at three, I would think you would stay there. I don't see it unless the offer is like if you're giving somebody's first round draft picks for the next 2 years or something like that, maybe. But when you're in a position to get a player now at that position, at number three, I think you take it.
All right, that's a little fill in the blanks. You can fill in a blank for us. You can go to our website and sign up to play a little Top Golf with us on June 6th, Wednesday, June 6th, Top Golf Midtown. We're going to have a bunch of celebrities out there playing Top Golf, and we want you to come out and golf with us. A little Target Golf at Top Golf. Grady Jarrett, Bryden Jordan, Vic Beasley, Spoon, Spikes, Ray Lewis, Derek Shelby, Hugh Douglas.
I'm on the list?
No.
Oh,
but
heck.
Yeah, you are.
I didn't know
you
I was on
here.
The list, but. You get a chance to actually play with some of these guys, some of the best players that ever played the game. Like Ray Lewis, you get a chance to play with Ray Ray. You still got a chance to sign up, too.
Yeah, get your team out there. We're going to play some Target Golf at Top Golf on June 6th. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we want you there. The entire station is going to be there with all the celebrities. Grady Jarrett helping us out on this. When we get back, speaking of the NFL, speaking of those guys that we just listed, there is news regarding the NFL, and it will be in Hughes World. Well, it'll be Hughes World next.
Yes, Hughes World, coming up next.
I think I messed that up.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Now, this comes straight from adults behaving badly. Now, we all know that this is the time of year, like as we get closer to the end of the school year, that we're getting ready for graduation. And the one thing that we always have to do for graduation, everybody sends out the invitations and everything, and everybody comes down for the graduation. So you always have sometimes you have a group of family members that come down. So when they come down for graduation, you all know that seating is limited. When you come to some of these graduations, they tell you that seating is limited. But this school in Memphis, Tennessee, it was the suburbs of Memphis, Tennessee. It was Arlington High School graduates. They were at this church, Bellevue Baptist Church. And it was in suburban Memphis. And family members got to brawling at the graduation. And if you go to USA Today, you'll see this story. It's graphic. Right. I got to warn you, this is not what they say. It's not safe for work because there's some cuss words and stuff being used. But these family members go in at this graduation with several adults in the audience were fighting in a few rows away and fist throwing, hair pulling, water pouring, shoving, fracas. No students were involved, but this was all parents. And this reports indicate the whole wild affair may have been resulted from not having enough seats. They said, basically the parents were saying, we didn't do anything. We were just trying to get our seats and they said the seats weren't ours. So obviously that it went to another level. Some lady named Tammy Mason, who's a superintendent of Arlington Community Schools, said in a statement Wednesday, last night we celebrated 500 students who graduated from Arlington High School. This year's class earned over $30 million in college scholarships. It is unfortunate that a couple of adults in the audience exhibited behavior that did they did prior to the ceremony beginning and thus has caused a distraction from the celebration of our students' accomplishments. In one video, a woman on the opposite side end of the row starts arguing with another. Several men are between the groups of women. Then a pomp and circumstance plays the background. A fight erupts and pushing, shoving, cursing, and all this other stuff, swinging punches. One woman grabbed another woman by the hair and threw haymakers to the woman's head. Several people tried to break up the fight. Then the end of one woman was handcuffed, but it was unclear if anyone was arrested. Now, if you see this video, there was one woman on this video. And I'm not condoning violence. I'm just, you know, just relaying the story. But there was one woman in this video. This older lady, she grabbed this woman by her head, John Freaky, and just started just swinging, like swinging at her top, like over chairs. These folks were in there fighting over chairs. So I guess the moral of the story is this. I understand that, you know, in this day and age, it seems like that's the easiest thing to do is to, like, to settle things with fisticuffs. And I would tell you flat out, at one point in my life, I was a strong, you know, I was a strong candidate, like, to do be that guy that did that. But as I've gotten older and I've been to my therapist and I've tried to grow as a person, that is not the way that you handle situations like this. You have to handle them like adults. I know sometimes adulting is hard. But fighting over chairs, like we just had it. We're fighting over cornhole a few weeks ago in Georgia.
Right.
We're fighting over chairs now. That this is the example that we're setting for the youth in this society nowadays. We can't do that, people. We got to do better. I know it's easy to throw blows sometimes, but we have to do better. Daryl, is your hand up? what are you about to say there?
Well, you know what happened.
What happened?
John told his cousins.
Why is he John's
cousin? That little John is graduating.
Okay.
And they said, oh man, Lil John is graduating at the Civic Center.
Are we about to turn up?
And no, Lil, he just said that. That doesn't mean that they were invited. Oh, I'm going. Oh, it's invitation early only. So then they decide they just want to come anyway. I had family members do this at my graduation, but they didn't fight.
But see, from the story that I read, this was the problem. Somebody was saving seats. And somebody said, whoever you're saving these seats for, they're not here. So I'm taking these seats. And so then when the people actually came, that's when the fisticuffs, you know, ensued. My thing is this. Seats are a first come, first serve basis. If you are in a position where, say, like, for instance, your wife, if she goes to the bathroom, then you can say, hey, she's on her way back. You can't get there early and start just saying, okay, I'm going to say this whole role for my family. You can't do that. That's not the right thing to do. You have to, like, if your family members aren't there, you can't hold seats. You can hold seats. There's only two people that you can hold seats for. Your wife and your children. That's it. Maybe if your mom's coming, you hold it for your mom. But mom better hurry and bring her butt on. Because, you know, you can't be having, like, a whole row of seats saved for somebody. You can't do that. And your family members got to get there in a timely fashion, man. You can't have that one family member that wants to come all late thinking that they're going to get there 10 minutes into the graduation when it's packed. Thinking they gonna, you got a seat saved for them. You can't do stuff like that nowadays, man. People not having that.
I was looking at this video, and what did the cool kids say? Oh, snap. But there's a still photo, and there are a couple of them of a lady who's not involved in the thing, and she's holding her cell phone, and the look on her face in these two photos, all I can think is she's going to be cut out and put as one of those viral memes, like that one. Remember the one lady last week who was calling the cops?
The one that called the cops on the phones and having the barbecue?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And
she's
became
been in a couple
meme.
Of my memes, yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, she pop up into a meme somewhere. This woman going to pop up into a meme, just look at her face. She's not involved in the fight. She's just in the USA Today, the still photos.
No, but you know what? I'm surprised that, John, is that when you look at some of the people that are throwing punches in these pictures, they are some of the people that you would never think that would be throwing punches at. Like, they're like the little old lady that lives across the street or somebody. Like, these folks are throwing haymakers. They are trying to put people to sleep. Like, I'm laughing because it's just like their intent is to put you to sleep. They're trying to make you go night-night. And these are women. These are not even guys fighting. These are women.
Man, you know what? Those family matters, man. They can boil over at the worst time.
They trying to make them folks go night-night. Night-night.
Not so, in here. You're not coming to see my son's graduation. Get out of here.
Not in my house.
Get that stepwoman out of here. Get stepmom out of here.
And,
you know?
And the sad part about it is it ain't even your chair. It's not even your chair. You don't even get to take the chair home with you.
But you can grab it. You can grab a chair at Twin Peaks for Dukes and Bell on Friday, 2 to 7, live broadcast. It is in Kennesaw, right there on Barrett Parkway with Dukes and Bell. Friday, 2 to 7, Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Great way to start your weekend. Rick and John, Rick Hamill is chomping at the bit. No, that's not fair. He's frothing at the mouth. Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.